Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Hey, we got lots to talk about this hour. We'll get to the lightweight, Michael Bloomberg. We'll get to Harvey and more coming up. It looks like Hope Hicks is returning to the White House. She'll work for Jared. Nobody knows what Jared does, but she'll be assisting him in whatever the hell that is. I don't know what Jared does all day.
Middle East peace.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good plan that he came up with.
Yeah, it's going real far.
But people have looked at it, said this is really the best peace plan ever. But the problem is you never get the Palestinians to agree on anything. Although he's taken the only approach you can take, which is get other Arab states that support the Palestinians on board first, putting more pressure on the Palestinians. But nothing ever moves these Palestinians. What's the old saying? They never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
So nothing will ever happen with it. But at least he tried.
And Hope Hicks has a job.
Yeah, I don't know what... you know, a lot of these people leave, and their names become well-known, and they look for careers after that. And Hope Hicks, a very good PR, public relations woman for years, went to work for President Trump. Actually, she worked at Trump Tower long before you got into politics. You figure she would have got some big...
Well, the problem is she didn't criticize Trump.
Yeah, that's the problem. She's very good at what she does, but when you don't criticize Trump, you're not going to get one of those multi-million-dollar senior vice president executive jobs anywhere. So she's gone back to the White House. Sean Spicer, that's a funny case, because what do you do with him? He was a nice guy, a little too bland, a little too boring, a little too drab. He was the RNC spokesman under Reince Priebus. So when Trump won, now you remember, Trump wins, but he's a total amateur. Never been in politics. You know, all these guys are governors. They come to Washington with an army of 40 people that have been with him for years. Trump didn't have anybody for any political jobs. So he brought Reince Priebus in to be the chief of staff, the RNC head. And Priebus said, I got the perfect spokesman. He's our spokesman, Sean Spicer. So they made him White House press secretary. And he looks like, doesn't he look like when the trains aren't running, the spokesman for the Metro North? That's what he looks like. You know, MTA spokesman, that's what he looks like. That's what he dresses like. First time he did a White House press conference, I know that Trump was watching TV and he turned to everybody and goes, doesn't this guy own a dark suit? He was wearing that rumpled light gray suit. So he wasn't going to last long. The search began for 6 months. Who was next? I'm trying to remember. Did they go right to Sarah Sanders?
I think so.
She was great and spent a couple of years there. She wants to run for something, governor, Senate, Congress, something. So she left. And since then, it's Stephanie Grisham. Yeah, she's very
nobody's
good.
Nobody's really needed now. Trump does his own press announcements.
Yeah, which is much better. And you'll notice when he does an announcement and they start asking questions, he'll answer them for a half hour. Are you going to pardon Roger Stone?
I don't want to say that yet, but I tell you what, people were hurt viciously and badly by these corrupt people.
Now, you'll read in fake news, the president has had fewer, the White House press office had fewer events, what do you call those when they do the...
News conferences.
News conferences than any previous administration. Yeah, but maybe there's less news conferences, but the president will come out and talk to you anytime you want. Anytime he goes to the helicopter, he'll stop and answer questions for 20 minutes.
No, not at all. He was treated very badly. 9 years recommended by four people that perhaps they were Mueller people. I don't know who they were, prosecutors. And they, I don't know what happened. They all hit the road pretty quickly.
Yeah, these, listen, this Roger Stone thing, I think that you got to go to an appeal on this. These were out of control, rogue prosecutors. Really bad people. They stacked the jury with these Trump haters. And you asked why didn't the defense object?
Yeah.
I looked into that. Defense did object, and the prosecutors pulled some crap there and got their objections.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I would think they'd object.
Yeah, they did object. There was a woman on the jury who was putting out the most vicious anti-Trump tweets. There was another person. It was the wife of an FBI agent who was involved in the Mueller probe.
On the jury?
Yeah, this was really bad.
Oh, my gosh.
These were out-of-control rogue prosecutors. They should probably all be arrested. They staged the most ludicrous, over-the-top, crazy raid on Roger Stone's house. In a case like this, first-time offender, nonviolent felon, you don't raid his house like that, and you don't recommend 8 to 9 years. It's absolutely crazy. That's obviously the Department of Justice has to overrule this. And then the president, he wasn't hiding. He's not Hunter Biden hiding in an attic somewhere. Press was there. He answered questions.
I want to thank the Justice Department for seeing this horrible thing. And I didn't speak to him, by the way, just so you understand. They saw the horribleness of a 9-year sentence for doing nothing.
I don't know. Did he speak to him, not speak to him? Who knows? But you wouldn't even have to speak to him. William Barr has been around Washington. He was Attorney General under George H.W. Bush. He knows to step in. You can't have crazed out of control.
But the president tweeted. That's the thing. He tweeted that it was ridiculous. And then the next thing you know, then the Justice Department comes out with its recommendation.
Well, but Barr says he did that beforehand, long before the tweet.
Oh, sure.
Well, I would think so. As soon as I saw that 8 to 9 years, to me it sounded insane.
Yeah.
And I don't work there. If you imagine if you're Barr, you'd call up and say, what the hell is going on over there? And these four guys have removed themselves from the case because they know they're going to get fired, arrested, or something.
I'm not concerned about anything. They ought to go back to school and learn because I'll tell you, with the way they treated people, nobody should be treated like that.
Well, you know when the bat phone rings and Batman jumps in that Batmobile and speeds to work? Well, when all this happened, Chuck Schumer, the Batman of nerds, he got his, get me my Ben Franklin glasses, write me something to say, put it on an index card, and here he, little Ben Franklin glasses.
Rule of law in this grand, grand tradition in this wonderful Justice Department is just being totally perverted to Donald Trump's own personal desires and needs, and it's a disgrace.
Disgrace. It's a disgrace. Doesn't he? You know, I love when he puts on that sanctimonious voice. Here's a guy who spends his whole life doing favors for donors, and he's worried about Donald Trump's behavior. Roger Stone.
The president seems to think the entire Justice Department is just his personal lawsuit to prosecute his enemies and help his friends.
He means law firm, not mm-hmm. lawsuit, but he's so mad the Ben Franklin glasses fogged up and he couldn't see the index card. So where was he during Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch?
Everything was just fine.
Where was he on that? So remember in the Clinton impeachment, there's so much video of Schumer saying, there's no reason for witnesses. You don't need witnesses. Why witnesses? We don't want witnesses. Then you watch him in this one. How can you have a trial without witnesses? He went to law school, I think, Chuck Schumer.
Did he pass?
I don't know. Apparently not, because he doesn't realize we have trials every day in this country without witnesses. It's not unusual to have a trial without witnesses. Yeah. It happens on a regular basis. So we'll see what happens to all this. Now, little mini Mike, or as the president calls him, lightweight, a real lightweight. A lightweight, what do you call him? Five feet, 4 inches of
dead, what is it?
Dead energy.
Dead energy, yeah.
A little tiny version of Jeb Bush. He is. Now, here's the things with Bloomberg. People have the impression that he is the most intimidating, powerful force in the world. Now, a guy has $58 billion. That's intimidating to a certain extent. The president, I love what he just called him yesterday. He goes, yeah, he's a lightweight. He's a lightweight. Because everybody gets all in awe of the $58 billion and this big corporation and this empire he created. But when he just decides to be a politician, a speaker, a debater, he is a total lightweight. He is the most ineffective speaker in the world. He might be the worst debater ever in history. So he becomes a lightweight by doing this.
I think it's a good contrast.
It's an excellent contrast. The world's worst debater up against the world's greatest debater. Now you're saying, well, Bloomberg, he seems to be doing pretty well. Well, that's only because he knows he can't talk. He knows he sounds ridiculous. So he's using just money to buy his way in. You can do that to a certain extent. He's run, some people think it's now $500 to $600 million in ads. He is spending more money than anybody knows. You know, he's spending $1 million a day just on Facebook.
How?
Yesterday he spent $1.7 million on Facebook, $1 million a day on Facebook. You remember how Robert Mueller said that those Russians were tampering with the election, influencing the election with their $100,000 worth of ads. $100,000 in ads. This is $1 million a day.
Everywhere you turn, you get a Bloomberg ad.
There are some voters in some polls who say, I will vote for him if it'll get him to stop running these ads everywhere. He's got an ad with, he rented a poor family to be talking to him and look like he's concerned.
Well, the other thing, now he's got Obama in his commercial.
Yeah, that's another thing. He's got these fake ads where it looks like Obama is supporting him or endorsing him. Obama is not supporting him or endorsing him. He found clips where they were at the same event, and Obama is introducing him. You know, when you're doing an event and there's people in the audience, yeah. You say, oh, and so-and-so who's done a great job in New York is a great leader. Hey, I do that all the time when I'm the MC. Even if it's Chuck Schumer, you got to say nice things when you're introducing the guy in the audience. You say, a great senator who's been serving a long time. You just say those things. So Bloomberg went and found those clips where Obama says great things about him, and he cut them together so it looks like he's endorsing him. And Joe Biden is saying to his people, when the hell didn't we think of that? Why didn't we do that? He must have 5 million clips of Obama praising him.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm sure he said this. Well, why didn't we do that? And then a minute later, what did I just say? He can't remember a minute later. So that's when he says that to the staff, they just change the subject, and he'll never remember he brought that up. you got to wonder about that now. There must be, especially during the campaign of 2008 and 2012, there must be 1,000 clips of Obama praising Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Remember when he nominated him at the convention? He had to make a speech to nominate him. He must have said 10 minutes of great things. Why didn't this idiot use that for a commercial?
Maybe Obama said, don't use any clips of me. Don't you have to get permission?
No.
You sure?
No, not if it's, no, you only have to, if you're taking it off a TV broadcast, no.
Okay.
Obama doesn't like Biden. Obama's not endorsing Biden deliberately. He's not for Biden. So maybe Biden was worried that if they did that, it would force Obama to come out and say it. He's been nice enough not to say it. But you'll notice Obama has not endorsed Biden, has not said one thing about Biden. If you ask Biden, he'll say, I asked him not to endorse me. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we believe that. And if you ask Biden, he'll say, I'm not concerned about endorsements. I don't care about endorsements. Meantime, he gets the Firefighters Union endorsement. He's screaming it for 2 days. What was the other one he got the other day? The Teachers Union. He couldn't stop talking about it. Remember, he got the Caroline Kennedy endorsement? He was bragging about that for 2 days. Like, anybody cares what the hell she thinks.
But we don't want Obamas.
Yeah, so Obama was working for Elizabeth Warren, helping her with donors and all that a couple weeks ago. I would assume he stopped. Because he's a cold, calculating politician. He looks at the last two primaries and realizes Elizabeth Warren's going no place. Let's get rid of that.
You think he might be on the Bloomberg side?
I don't think so. I think he'd go with Buttigieg.
Really?
Yeah. You got to remember, for all these Democratic elders, the guys that control the party, they might say, well, this Bloomberg could win. Let's back him. And it doesn't work that way.
He doesn't do favors, right?
Yeah, he's not going to be there when you need him. You can't control him. But they might look at Buttigieg and say, we could help put him over the top, and he'll owe us, and he's a politician. He'll do favors for us. And Buttigieg could do it.
That does make sense.
Buttigieg is like Bill Clinton. He's very lucky. He doesn't actually believe in anything, just like Bill Clinton. He didn't have any principles. When Bill Clinton was governor, he was a real left-wing liberal. And then things changed in Arkansas a few years later. So to get reelected, he became a conservative. He did that in the presidency. Remember, he was very left-wing the first term. Then when Newt Gingrich, the Contract for America, took over, he realized, these guys, this is where it is.
Trump doesn't have a nickname for Buttigieg yet. He's got one for everybody but Buttigieg.
Yeah, it's tough with Buttigieg.
It is kind of tough. I know it.
Yeah, he called him Alfred E. Newman, but it's an outdated reference. Nobody knows what it means. So Buttigieg is like that. He's been the left-wing guy, the progressive. But if they show him, it's the just slightly left of center is going to be the lane that wins. He'll become that. He could become that in a month or two.
Yeah.
The problem with Buttigieg is he looks so programmed. What did Tucker Carlson call him? A corporate hologram designed by the AI department at Google. He also said he looks like the world's worst TED Talk. So that's the only problem with Buttigieg. But he can work on that. Now, they'll always show you, this is the other thing, you'll read this in fake news. Despite Trump's, looks like it's inevitable, every poll shows Democrats can beat Trump. These are these rigged fake polls where they skew the results by about 12 points. They take Republicans down to tiny levels in the sample. Even the Fox News poll, you know, they always say, even the Fox News poll. Fox News poll is hiring the same bad polling companies to do this stuff. Hey, besides buying ads, Facebook stuff, Bloomberg is now offering Instagrammers $150 to say something good about him on Instagram. And he's hired some of the top Instagram influencer companies. He's willing to pay them to get positive stuff on Instagram.
Yeah, but you got to be an influencer to get that $150, right?
No, the $150 is for mostly anybody that'll do it. If you got some kind of following, and then if you're a big follower, they'll work out some real money deals with you. He's going to spend $2 billion. Some think he might go to $4 billion in the end.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so this
he's got it to spend.
Well, this is what happens when you have no personality, no charisma. You're a horrible speaker and the world's worst debater. You can't just go do TV shows. Remember, in 2015, Donald Trump went on the air everywhere. He was on every show, every minute, as a guest. And that's how he did it. It's called earned media.
Mm-hmm.
They calculated he did almost $1 billion in earned media. In other words, you're on TV or you're in an interview and you don't have to pay for it. Bloomberg can't talk, so he's going to have to spend the money. He could, if he wanted to, go on every cable news show, every Tonight Show, Fallon, all the time. But every time he does, it doesn't seem to help. You talk like that. It's not helping. So at some point, this is going to catch up with him. Hey, check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. These ugly political attack ads, these are nothing compared to the old ones. Watch the 1950s and 60s ads. They were much more vicious. Take a look at them. Also, how did this coronavirus start? What caused it? How did it spread? Here's a little documentary. I'll explain it to you. Very simply explain it to you. Also, one of our greatest writers is Victor Davis Hanson. What a piece he wrote about the rise of Rush Limbaugh, the success of Rush Limbaugh. It's a brilliant tribute. We have that up on the webpage. So check it all out. Just go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Hey, it looks like the Harvey Weinstein trial is over. Today will be the final day. Prosecutors, I don't know. This could go either way, this case. Harvey Weinstein hired a brilliant lawyer from Chicago, a woman who specializes in these sort of cases, defending these sort of guys. She's won 40 and lost one. So this could go either way. Prosecutors did pretty good with the closing arguments. You know, Harvey lost a lot of weight, so he looks little and frail. And he got the walker so that you have to bend over to use the walker. So by being bent over, he looks much shorter than he is. Harvey, in real life, was a big, hulking, intimidating guy. When you'd fight with him, he'd get right in your face and start yelling at you. But he was a big guy. A lot of weight there. So by getting thin, he looks smaller. By using the walker, he looks shorter. And the idea was that the jury would look at him, and when the witness says, well, he jumped on me, pinned me down, he overpowered me, he looked so little and frail, you figure, well, how could he overpower her? So the prosecutor pointed out in the closing argument that the walker was strictly a prop. He was using it as a prop, which he was. In fact, every night of the trial, you could see him dancing at different clubs in New York. No, I'm kidding. And hey, here's a Seal comes out and attacks Oprah, saying Oprah knew all about this. She's part of the problem. She was covering up this stuff for you. I don't know. Did you ever hear anything about Harvey Weinstein? I know he was a bully, a rough guy, crude.
No, but I mean, obviously, the word was around.
Yeah, if you go back and watch the show Entourage, the great TV series, there was a character based on Harvey Weinstein. They even called him Harvey. And in the scene, he's threatening. He's in many scenes, in like five or six episodes. He's threatening, bullying. So I guess that carried over into his love life. So we'll see what happens today. The verdict will come down. Crime is way up. This no bail, letting people out of jail is causing. The crime is already up because of the mayor putting handcuffs on the police, not the criminals. It's going up even more. Now, Cy Vance, the DA, says some of these, a lot of cases now, they may not even bring to court. They might not even bother because under the new stupid rules, they'll just be tossed out of court. They won't get any place.
Yeah, they have to present the evidence real quick, and it's, you know, it's not practical to do sometimes.
This is how bad this is. Now you got a district attorney, Cy Vance, saying, you know, I'm going to even be able to bring most of these. I may have to just let these people go and not even charge them. This is really bad stuff. Unless you're Roger Stone. You know, now here's another thing. All these crazy liberal Schumer Democrats, all these Democrats, they want no bail, they want everybody let out, don't go to jail, no charges, no. But Roger Stone, 8 to 9 years for a nonviolent first-time offender. Governor Cuomo meets with President Trump today. That I don't know how that'll go.
See, I think Cuomo's going into this all wrong. He said, I'm going to call the president's bluff.
Well, but you never know. That's him in public.
Well, what is he going to go in there and say, hey, please help me out?
I don't know. It's a funny situation because these two guys were good friends, really good friends. Trump was at Cuomo's bachelor party. These were two good friends. Then, for political reasons, Cuomo has to hate Trump and attack Trump and all this. So I don't know. When you were old friends, maybe you can reignite that. Or sometimes when old friends get into a fight, it becomes a real blood feud. It becomes worse than any other fight.
Well, Trump's not going to come out of this looking like he gave in.
Yeah. But somebody's got to. Well, first of all, Trump doesn't have to give in. Trump is not sitting there in the White House dependent on New York for anything.
Yeah.
But New York totally depends on the federal government for a lot of things. Money, grants, all kinds of things. They want to get that train tunnel built, all that stuff. Cuomo has played this all wrong. If you are lucky enough, that's the luckiest thing ever happened to a state, one of your own becomes president, you could have money flowing, everything coming into New York to help. Instead, these crazy Democrats in Albany decide they'll sue the president, they'll try to arrest him, they'll call him names. Dumbest strategy ever. I don't know what the hell they were thinking. So we'll see what happens in that meeting today. Jeff Bezos needs a house in Los Angeles. He's decided he'll spend more time there. So he buys the single most expensive house ever in the history of Los Angeles, $165 million for this house. This is not his main residence. He lives in Seattle. It's like a second home. Well, actually, it's like a seventh home. This is like a Bloomberg-type situation.
It's obscene.
Bezos, now worth $130 million.
Billion.
Remember a few weeks ago, he's worth $100 billion. Now he's worth $130 billion. Amazon stock's way up. $130 billion. So what is $165 million when you have $130 billion? It's like $1.25. That's all it is. Do you see this mansion? It's the most unbelievable mansion you've ever seen. If somebody said to you, it's $1.25, would you buy it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you got $130 billion, that's what it is.
Unbelievable.
It was probably $1.50, and he said, I'll give you $1.25. Okay, we'll take it. And the guy selling it is David Geffen, another billionaire. Although he's only worth like $2, maybe $4 billion. Looks like a pauper compared to.
But his house is crazy. It's 100. I mean, what do they got? Two pools?
Two pools.
A golf course.
A golf course.
What else do they have? They got
forget the screening room. It has a movie studio in the basement. You can make your own films. It has everything there. Hey, when we come back, the smartest guy, Charles Payne. Nobody better on the economy and all that stuff. I love Charles Payne. We'll talk to him next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Barton.
This is the Mark Simone Show.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Well, we're looking for Charles Payne. Hopefully he'll turn up and we'll find him there. Let's see. Also going on, you got crime way up. It's getting worse and worse in New York. You got taxes going crazy in New York City. You got more and more people leaving New York. You know, Florida has now more New Yorkers in it than probably New York City does. You've got so many people leave South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, all of these places. And it just, you know, it's like a catch-22. You get less revenue, so you raise the taxes. That causes more people to move out. And then you get even less revenue the next year. So this is Governor Cuomo's problem. And he's meeting today with the president for the first time. He's so busy with his Trump hatred. It's not just him. It's all the Democrats, all the Albany. They're so busy fighting with Trump, suing Trump, accusing Trump of everything, hating Trump, that they can't work out anything. This is the opportunity to turn things around for Governor Cuomo. He'll be there in the Oval Office sitting with the president. If he was really going to do the right thing, he would make peace, work something out. You know, one of the big problems is they took away the state and local tax deduction, which is killing a lot of people. And the reason they did that, it's not a New York thing. It's just that most states, you know, 45 of the states in this country don't have crippling state and local tax. So why should it be a deduction? Why should the rest of the country have to pay for the crazy New Jersey, New York, and now Connecticut and California that have these outrageous taxes? So we'll see what happens at the end of the day. This is a big opportunity for the governor. He could blow it. He could try to score political points with the Democratic base by giving the president a hard time in this meeting today. We'll see. I mean, if he's really smart, he'll go in there, make peace, make a deal with the president, become friends, say to him, I'll get all of our crazy officials to stop suing you, harassing you. Let's all be friends again. Help New York. Am I counting on that? No, I don't think it'll happen. What happened to Charles Payne? We couldn't find him? Uh-oh. All right, we'll figure it out. We'll find him. I was going to ask him about coronavirus. Now, here's the problem. You know, you're trusting the Chinese officials, the Chinese government, to give you the real numbers, the real figures. It's not something you really want to count on, but they're claiming they've got it under control. Although, now it turns out yesterday there's a big increase. It turns out a big increase. It's now 15,000 cases, 242 dead. This is in China. You remember they built hospitals in 10 days. In just 10 days they built these hospitals. Many people saying, how is that possible? How did they build an entire hospital in 10 days? Well, if you go take a look at it, it's not a hospital. It's a big prison. It's just a detention center. It's basically a big warehouse where they're throwing people into. And some video has leaked out from China where you can see these cops with masks on and everything grabbing people, throwing them into a van and taking them away. So if anybody's even suspected of having this virus, they're taking them and throwing them in these detention centers. But we don't know if they've really got it under control. The numbers are up a little, but we'll see. By the way, you see all these people with the masks on, the blue mask, the green mask, the white mask. Everybody says, you know, it's not the white, the blue mask is the white mask. That's the one that'll protect you. Every expert, scientist, medical expert says the mask will not protect you. It doesn't matter what mask you have on. It can help, you know, you won't breathe it in, but you can still get the virus. It can be transmitted through your hands, through touching, through. So the mask alone will not protect you. In China, they're going crazy. There are now pictures of cats and dogs wearing the masks. People are worried about their cat catching the coronavirus. So it's going to affect things economically. That's another thing you got to watch out for. You know, everybody's waiting for the stock market to pull back, take a drop so we can all get into the stock market. It's too high. At some point, there may be a pullback because of coronavirus. It's not spreading as fast as anybody thought it might, but it's going to affect the economy at some point because it's totally disrupted manufacturing and business in China. And that's the supply chain for much of the world. That's the supply chain for a lot of industries. So there's been a disruption of this whole supply chain for a month, 2 months, could be 3 months, and that will affect things at some point. Also, certain things like steel, all the steel comes from China, so expect the price of that to go up. So it'll have an effect at some point, a temporary effect on the economy. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Kurt, Mastic Beach. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. You know, this duration of everything that was happening on the news with the the president in the House and everything like that, I was really something bleeped up. Pardon me, and it came.
What do you got? Coronavirus? I had to put on a mask. Stop coughing all over me.
I certainly hope not. But with all intent, I thought Sheldon Silver was serving his time. He's not serving his time.
No.
And where did all that money go? I guess if you're a bank robber and you get caught and you give the money back, then you're okay to.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. You know, Roger Stone should not even have been arrested. Let's say because you hate Trump, you arrest him, you prosecute him anyway. Let's say you manage to get a conviction. First time nonviolent offender, house arrest, probation. No way you get 8 to 9 years. Preposterous. But look at this justice system. Compare this to Sheldon Silver, who's robbing and I mean, this guy was really convicted and he got a sentence, but he's never gone to jail. How long is it now? 5 years, 6 years, still not in jail. This Sheldon Silver, Now, you might be saying, who the hell is his lawyer? I want to get this guy. This is keeping me out of jail. Well, it's also him. Sheldon Silver is, this whole state government is so sleazy, so dirty. These people in the legislature in Albany, they got their little octopus tentacles into every little place, from the judges to the courthouse to the prosecutor. So this Sheldon Silver has managed to stay out of jail. Remember, at the same time they convicted, what's his name, the comptroller? Oh, I'm blanking that. But, you know, he pulled every trick. He managed to stay out for about 8 months, then went to jail. This Sheldon Silver, it's years now, still not in jail. It's unbelievable what these guys get away with. Let's go to Ann in New Jersey. Hey, Ann.
Hey, Mark. How you doing? Thank you for taking my phone call.
Thanks for making it.
Thank you. So I want to talk about the coronavirus a little bit. And everything that you mentioned is really the reason why people are not going to these Chinese industries, these restaurants. It's worse than SARS, and people are afraid, and it's spreading wildfire.
But you say, well, I don't go to a Chinese restaurant. These Chinese people, they might have just come from China. You know, if you go into any restaurant of any type cuisine and go into the kitchen, you're going to see a lot of the same Chinese people working there.
That's true. You raise a really good point, but I think people are just really, really, really afraid, and they don't want to take a chance because many of their family members go to China and they could be carrying the virus and it could just come from anywhere at any point in time.
I know. This is the argument people make when you ask them, well, why can't you go to a Chinese restaurant? Well, because they're coming back and forth from China. First of all, if they're working in the kitchen of the dumpiest Chinese restaurant in Chinatown making 3 cents a year, I don't think they're flying back and forth to China all the time. You know what it costs to fly to China? And also, again, go into any restaurant, French restaurant, Italian restaurant, Greek restaurant, go in the kitchen. They got Chinese people working there. So these Chinese restaurants are suffering. Business down at least 50% in Chinatown, in Flushing. Let's go to Mark in Brooklyn. Hey.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Yes.
In connection with the coronavirus, I might point out that in the second decade of the 20th century, we had an incredible outbreak of viral influenza that basically took the lives of about 18 million people worldwide.
Are you a doctor?
Let's leave that on the side for the moment.
Well, I can tell you're a doctor. I can hear that in your voice. You got one of those voices where you come out and go, I see by your chart here that...
It's policy and procedure. I'm affiliated with a major hospital in New York, and I really don't want to, you know. Okay, anyway.
Major hospital? Hey, you hospitals, you got more infections than the coronavirus.
Well, that's you know, I had an input on
that.
Say,
you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Well, you know what the problem is, if you examine on its face, hospitals have two problems. There was no circulation of clean, fresh air, and yeah, it's very limited sunlight, especially in the ERs. You have basically absolutely putrid air, and you have people coming in with sudden severe illnesses and such. Also, if you look at the type of individuals who succumb to these illnesses, they're usually in very peculiar environments. These are not your Donald Trumps. Donald, have you ever seen Donald Trump's sick?
No, but a lot of these people come from countries like India, where they have certain infections going around like crazy, and they overuse antibiotics in those countries, so the infections become resistant to antibiotics, and then they're brought here.
Well, here in the States, we have a similar problem. In some states, you have certain illnesses, especially certain contagious bacterial and viral afflictions that are unique to those states.
Well, all right.
We don't know.
Mark, good call. We can't talk about bacteria for too long because there are people listening. But it's a very good call.
Yeah,
very informative. We'll find Charles Payne. I don't know what happened to him, but we'll have him tomorrow or next week or something like that. Check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. How did this coronavirus start? Where did it come from? How did it spread? Watch this little mini documentary. It'll explain to you everything about coronavirus, so you'll sound like a genius when you talk about it with your friends. Also, these political attack ads are so nasty. They're so vicious. These are nothing compared to the ads that Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, all these people ran. Look at the attack ads of the 50s and 60s. They're even worse. And we had a whole montage of them up on the webpage. Also, one of our greatest writers is Victor Davis Hanson. Take a look at this article he wrote. This is a beautiful, brilliant tribute to Rush Limbaugh. It's up on the webpage. All of this stuff's up on the webpage. Just go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.